Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Bottom of the barrel Halloween food. I'll start. I'm ready to make people mad here. Smarties?
No.
Whoa.
No.
You know who needs Smarties?
I'm not.
You're offered a lifetime supply of Smarties. It's a silent auction. You're at a golf tournament. There's a lifetime supply of Smarties. How much would you bid for that?
I'd bid $300.
$300? You know what? I'll take $300 from you right now, and I'll give you Smarties every day. And by day six, you'll be like, I've had the previous five packs. I haven't opened them yet. I can't decide if it's crazier that you ate a Cobb salad in a movie theater or would pay $300 for a lifetime supply of Smarties.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Another week begins. What a weekend, eh?
It was.
It was nice.
It was a weekend of just sitting in the pool for me, for like an entire day.
I did some of that, but the pool we had. Well, my mother-in-law has a pool, so we did that. We also put out one of those pools you put out for kids. It's,
I mean, kiddie pools.
But yeah, not exactly. It's more like a half slip and slide, half pool scenario where basically I was just laying in 3 inches of water in the background, in the backyard. Not quite, it's not a, if I said we had a pool.
Wait, it's a,
and you came over, you'd say that's not a pool. That's like a splashy pad for, with,
it's got poolish features.
Water.
It's okay, but it's a slip and slide that I'm having trouble even visualizing what you're,
picture a giant circle.
Yeah.
That the edge of it fills with water and then shoots out like a fountain into a flat surface that can max out at 4 inches.
Okay.
So you, but it's all plastic and, you know, you could roll right out of it.
It's not,
there's no hard rim to the outside.
Yeah, okay. But it's, it only also gets like 3-4 inches of water,
if that,
you're saying.
Yeah, and then it'll spill out into the lawn. Yeah, and okay. It also has a rip, so now we don't have it anymore because I put it in the trash. So
okay, so it ended this weekend.
Yes, it had a great last day.
That was
and,
it.
As I'm like, oh, man, something seems like it's not holding much water. Like, oh, yeah, there's a huge rip.
It's not
it.
Holding the whole 3 inches of water that it's supposed to.
And the rip was also right by where you put the hose into it. So it's like, oh, there's no repairing that.
Sure.
Especially when the thing probably costs like, you know, $30 or something. So I got to go hunting for a new slip and slide. There was actually a discussion. I talked about it with my wife. Like, you know what we should do? Because we got a big family week coming up where there's a bunch of kids.
Uh-huh.
Like, we should get a huge slip and slide, because at that point, all we're doing is trying to find something that will entertain the children while we don't necessarily have to pay that much attention.
Yeah.
You can just kind of sit there and they run back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
And slip and slide, I feel like, is a good answer here.
I'm trying to think of even a strong competitor to the slip and slide for this. Like a water activity that's not a pool, like
sprinkler,
you can buy in a box.
You know, the hits. Sprinkler is always a good one there. Yeah. Run through the sprinkler.
They actually have the slip and slides that have like the rings that go around it with the sprinklers shoot down at it.
Into it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good one.
There's the bounce house that has the water slide feature in a bounce house, those kind of things. Like, those are big too.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor's got one where you hook the hose into the bounce house and it shoots water from two different spots.
Yeah.
You know, people like me grew up, you saw a slip and slide once every 3 years.
Yeah.
And a bounce house once every 5 years.
Sure.
And now these are just all readily available.
I was in a bounce house yesterday, actually.
Nice.
I was at a birthday party where there was a bounce house with a water slide on the side of it.
Beautiful.
So you would go in the bounce house, and then there was like a thing you would climb up to go up to the water slide, and then you would go down that. That's an elite. You get one of those. Those are probably tougher. Those are people only rent those, right?
No, absolutely.
People own those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
On a given day in my neighborhood where it's really, if it's really warm out or nice out or people outside, I can stand on my back steps and kind of scan all the backyards, you know, because the streets, that's the way they work.
Yeah.
And see four bounce houses.
Okay. It's just bounce house central.
It's bounce house season.
Yeah.
Yep. Ours also has a rip. That's another thing we have to replace. How did that get?
The bounce house?
Yeah, the bounce house. We had one. We bought it from a neighbor. Mm. It got a giant rip. How'd it get a rip? My son, despite us saying, do not throw the dog's tennis ball inside the bounce house.
Because the dog will go
Do not do that. He did, and what you thought would happen happened.
Yeah.
The thing got shredded. Like the dog's a Wolverine. Like, gone.
How does one repair a bounce house? Did you just duct tape?
Sure,
but that's only going to do such.
It's all about where the rips are. Is anything going to hold? Yeah. So anyway, bounce house radio.
There's no bounce house repairman. I think you could just call.
Probably
over.
Are, but once you start charging whatever you're going to charge, like I'll just get one for you know.
Almost the same price.
Those are much more expensive than just you know your little splash pads in the yard.
Yep. It was humid, by the way, this weekend.
It's supposed to be
sitting in the pool. I still felt like I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
You called it. Did you just make this up or did you read it? A generational humidity event?
I read that this week the entire country is going to be really humid.
Because I was saying that to friends yesterday, like, oh, it's going to be generational humidity. I didn't even know if it was actually true, but just the way it was outside, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
That's what this feels like at the moment.
Yeah,
right. Like I'm underwater standing outside the pool.
Right now, the humidity is 97%. It'll drop throughout the day. But yeah, during the week, it goes up to about 90 to 80% most days.
Yep.
So, yeah. It's warm out there. The air is thick.
I think humidity is everybody's most agreed, most hated weather feature, right? Most universally hate. Because, you know, like, I don't like the heat. Once you get above 90, I'm not into it. Sal loves it. Like, I won't golf in, like, 95-degree weather. Sal's into it. Some people hate the cold. Some people are fine with it. We've had our wind battles about how windy it is, whether you hate that or not. Nobody likes humidity.
Yeah, I would say what humidity does is humidity with heat. That's what makes you think you need to get to air conditioning. Because dry 89 degrees, the shade will do some work for you.
Sure.
But humid, it doesn't do much work for you. It's not the same.
It's everywhere.
Yep. Now, anyway, that says, you know, it's a dry heat versus humid heat. You spent plenty of time in Arizona.
Yeah.
And when that's 115 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, humid, but it does feel like you're going to catch on fire.
But you made the right point about there are ways to escape it when you're there. If you're in the sun or you're standing on the concrete, like you can't even do that. You'll burn your feet. Like that's when you feel it and it feels like, right, you're on the surface of the sun. But if I go find an umbrella. All right, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable. Whereas yesterday, there's nowhere you can go other than inside into air conditioning to feel, I feel like, any sort of comfortable. Yeah, you could be in a pool.
The humidity beater is a pool and also wind, like a breeze. If you're down by the water or anything like that, like that'll help quite a bit.
If I put a dehumidifier out next to me out on a patio, is that going to do anything?
That seems like it's...
Probably not?
Probably not. That
would
be fun.
What if everyone puts a dehumidifier outside?
If we all together as a community just put out, hey, today is put your dehumidifier outside day. We're going to see how much of an impact it can make.
Yeah.
Not enough?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the grid could handle that. Probably not. It's whatever. I don't think it's oppressive heat. I think we're fine, you know?
It's okay.
Yesterday,
it's okay
a lot of yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got a couple in the chat. Georgia. A guy in the chat chimes in from Georgia that Georgia is brutal right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I haven't spent much time like in the Carolinas and in Georgia and Florida in the summer. But, you know, everybody lives there. It's like, oh, yeah, brutal.
Yep.
So anyway, hey, it's summer. We don't get a lot of it. I'm not complaining about it. Not at all. High today of 89. High tomorrow of 88. The week is pretty much in the 80s. So welcome to summer. If this were... training camp, you know, the players have to stay hydrated. It probably will get pretty warm once we get to July, once you get to St. John's.
Yes, probably will be pretty hot.
Countdown's on. Last night, the Pacers and the Thunder, maybe that Halliburton injury might get more people to, not necessarily more people to tune in, but to kind of, wow, what happened? What's the story here? If you're not an NBA fan, you might want to know about a story like that where Tyrese Halliburton, who is statistically the most clutch player ever, if you're going to kind of have fun with that,
yeah,
he makes more big clutch shots than anyone ever, especially this postseason. We had the stat that he had hit more game-winning shots in the final 10 seconds than anybody in their career, and he did it in this postseason.
Right. Yeah.
And here it's Game 7, and he's raining threes like he's been touched by the gods of being clutch. And, all right, let's see what happens. Game 7, and he blows out his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tough. Was last night not the exact same as Durant getting hurt in Toronto? As soon as it happens, you're like, well, that's going to be that.
Yeah.
I know Indiana hung around. And I know they were in it. They led at halftime. But, hey, their best player is nursing a calf injury. Well, he's got to play. He's got to play. Bang. It's over.
Yeah. I will say, though, the one couple, there are so the similarities are, it's in the finals. They had both had calf injuries going in.
That they were trying to manage.
Right. And that was mentioned about Halliburton. Like, hey, this happened to Durant. He pushed it. It was the finals. It was a calf injury. He overcompensated, snap, and now he's out for a year, the next year. The one key difference that I'll mention with that is that happened in Game 5 of that series, not of Game 7, and not a quarter in, like, Game 5. And that Warriors team was, like, super team, dynasty. They had already won it. They'd already won two, right, with Durant there? So he goes down, and there would have been some curiosity, like, oh, let's see if they could do it without him again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen them do it without him. Now it's back to Steph, Clay, and Draymond without Durant, and they can win this. This is going to be – you might have thought going into that would have been a blowout in favor of Golden State. I don't think it was. But that would have left curiosity. Last night it felt like – the moment Halliburton goes down, like, oh, this game is gonna... This game was maybe on its way to being, like, a legend status type of game, and him going down is, ugh.
It's tough.
Took all the wind out of the sails. Like, I was so pumped up for that game last night, and it started great, and then...
It started great, yeah.
He goes down like that. And, too, like, your mood changes, right? Like, I'm into it, I'm pumped up. Your mood changes not just on him being injured, but slamming his fist on the ground. ESPN couldn't show you enough of his reaction on the ground, right? Like, how upset he was and his dad crying in the stands. Like, that was, it was emotional.
It really
watching
did
him go down
it,
that
it
way.
It really did change everything all the way to when they come back from break and the big music is hitting and it's like, oh, here
that
we
go. Break. Did you notice, by the way, how long that break felt?
It was long.
That was like a 5-6 minute, yep. Maybe it wasn't that long. It felt like it was that long, though, that commercial timeout.
All the prepackaged Game 7. It's the moment. It's this. And, you know, Mike Breen's pumping up from break. And when you come back, you're just like, yeah, man. Like, it puts a pall that hangs over everything. It's like, ugh. All right. The best player for one team, or maybe the most important player for one team, got an injury that's going to keep him out all of next year, too.
Right.
Because that's usually what it does. That's what happened to Tatum. Three Achilles blown in this postseason.
Yeah.
And a couple right before the playoffs as well. Like the load management conversation in the NBA has probably annoyed a lot of people. It's about to get a lot louder. If you watch basketball, you're going to see load management conversation go to new heights. Both these guys, Tatum and Halliburton, played not only long postseasons last year, but like international play, 100 games during the season. I saw a ton of takes about shortening the regular season last night. Like, here we are.
Yeah.
It's not to say that has no merit,
yeah.
But I mean, the idea of shortening a regular season has always, to me, seemed ridiculous because these teams are not going to just give up money.
No, you know what they might do? Actually, this was, I think LeBron had this idea, or I've heard him talk about it at least, is that they're going to shorten the minutes in the games. Mm. That they'll do 40-minute games instead of 48-minute games. And that'll be their load management without getting rid of games so they could still charge the same amount for tickets.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Well.
Or what they could do. They haven't done that, but.
I guess I've never thought about it this way. Whenever you go to make a rule change, people say, what about all the records, right? What do you do when you shorten a game?
I think that's actually, I heard this clip of, it was LeBron on his podcast, he was with Steve Nash now. He said that about the 40-minute games, and then the next thing out of his mouth was about the records.
Hmm.
And how, like, well, you're tampering with history, though, if you do that. Which, you know, you would be, but it's already so different that I'm not even sure that it really matters. I don't know. Like, how do you prevent Achilles injuries? Like, in sports, they just kind of happen, and like,
yeah,
they're kind of the worst because they just happen on an instant like that.
Non-contact.
Non-contact. How are you supposed to prepare for that? I guess in these instances, like, a couple of the common points, not for all of them, but like Haliburton and Durant, are you have calf injuries going in that might be contributing to it. But like, why does Aaron Rodgers tear his Achilles?
Yep.
Why it's just the way his foot hit the ground in that one set, that one moment, it just that was it.
Did you appreciate where we are in society where we're all commenting on, oh yeah, there's the pop.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, there's the moment. You could see the reverberation. We all got to know that when Rodgers blew his out. I mean, it's not the most disgusting injury there is, because all it looks like is like a little ripple on the muscle.
No, it could make you squeamish, though.
It's a little squeamish, but at least it's not bone sticking out of skin. Sorry, 6 a.m. people eating breakfast, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Stotts had the numbers on this. If Haliburton was the Achilles, which it is, the eighth tear of the season in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
the previous high was 5.
Mm-hmm.
In 2014-15. Now, you know, what does the NBA do with that data? The NFL takes concussions and decides to change rules on kickoffs to get those numbers down. Does the NBA rather think they have an Achilles tearing problem? 8 in 1 year, which is nearly double the previous high.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you know, it might be a one-off.
Is someone going to go to work on, you know, do the high-top shoes actually protect you more than the low-tops or something?
Yeah.
Because I think players are starting to wear low-tops more and more often.
Giannis's brother tore his in the offseason, and another prospect, Jalen Moore, injured in a pre-draft workout. So those two don't even count.
Yeah.
8, and then 2 other guys that did it right before the season began. So, all right, what do you do? If you think about the injury, what injury, Jay McKee is what people might say here, what injury changed the course of a narrative? What injury changed the course of a season of who won more than any other? Do you have one top of mind? Because last night when that happens, my first thought is Kenyon Martin in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Which is way back. But Kenyon Martin broke his leg. I'm pretty sure he broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
In the conference championship for Cincinnati, they're the number one team in college basketball. They are dominant. They're amazing. I want to say they're 33-1. And he breaks his leg, and the tournament starts. Like, well, there you go. Like, it's over now. You were probably going to win the title. You should have won the title. Who knows if you do? But that injury, and if you're a Cincinnati fan, it's like, well, I guess we're going to watch them play the games. But there it goes. We have someone in the chat saying, imagine if, and I don't even want to speak it into the universe.
Oh, like, I don't even, you know what? I have the tab open. I'm not even going to click it because I think I know. I can imagine what the person's
imagine
about to say.
If the Bills, a big game. Don't you write those words in that chat.
The biggest game.
The biggest game.
Because that's going to be, right, for an Indiana Pacers fan, last night, that's their Jay McKee moment. It's probably even worse because you're into game 7 of the finals.
Yeah,
like,
it's probably worse.
You're not in the conference finals. You're in the finals.
And you're one of the best underdog stories ever.
And everything kind of lined up for them to have a real claim to it. Like, it's game 7. He's your best player, your most important player. He's on fire to start the game. Like, right, he's hitting 3-pointers from the moon almost. Like, he's not at the 3-point line. He's taking those shots from way back, and they're going in. And then it's the first quarter, and it happens. Like, they're going to for a lifetime be like, that was the one. If Haliburton doesn't get hurt.
Right, does he score 60?
Pacers fan's going to say that for 50 years. Right, like, he's about to have his legend game. And, man, that game at the end, nobody could make a shot. I mean, SGA wins the title. He tried to hit 10 daggers at the end, and he couldn't do it. So he went back to pushing off and flopping on the ground. So, like, if Haliburton is in that game, he's the opposite of that. Maybe he does win it. It's happening in that moment. Like, I don't know. It would be the equivalent of a quarterback. Here comes the Super Bowl. And in the first quarter, bang, there he goes, down. And, like, that hasn't happened in a Super Bowl that I can remember. Like, Foles starts and wins a Super Bowl. But, like, that's so different because, one, he wins it, and he had been in for weeks.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to speak this into the universe again. Have we ever had a quarterback leave this? I mean, Kelly, Jim got hurt in the. But that game's a blowout at the time, right?
But is that the last time?
What's the score of that game when he gets hurt? Somebody on Twitter will know. Somebody on the chat will know. The fourth Super Bowl, sorry, the third one. The third, where Kelly and he gets hit by Ken Norton, I believe.
Uh-huh.
How many passes had he attempted?
He was injured in the second quarter of that game.
Okay.
So I'll try to find, I mean, they won 52-17.
Right.
So,
and it got, obviously, the game got away from them, but that's a team that's, you know, had
a yeah.
lot of offensive firepower, and Kelly leaves, of course, with the injury, and Wright goes in. That's the last one where a quarterback got hurt in
Man,
the Super Bowl?
I can't remember a guy leaving even for, because, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. The guy's leg would have to be hanging off for yeah. him to not try, or it would have to be this specific injury, because this is one where, like, I just don't think there's anything you could do. Like,
right.
You're not, you can't put weight on it, you know?
Yeah, I can think of championship games. Joe Montana gets knocked out of an NFC championship game. Rich Gannon gets knocked out of an AFC championship game. Brock Purdy knocked out of an NFC championship game, along with their other quarterbacks, and then Purdy went back in with the inability to throw. Like, we've seen the big injury change championship games. The Super Bowl, I can't think of the last time it did happen.
Kelly goes out, it's 14-7 Cowboys in the second quarter.
All right. I mean, like,
it's a game.
It's alive, at least. It's alive.
Yeah, he only attempted 7 passes in that Super Bowl.
It's tough.
And then the rest were Reich. Like, Dwayne Rollison got hurt in the Stanley Cup Finals for Edmonton, right?
Yep. And whoever whoever their backup was, too. Who was that?
Okay, they got down to their third
guy? They were on their third goalie.
I don't remember that.
Yes, they were on their third goalie, and they took Carolina to 7 games.
So who is the goalie that's playing against Carolina that year? All the more reason why it's
used
a
to
fake cup.
By the way,
fake cup there in Carolina.
That's how we know we're softening. You used to have that name top of mind.
You're right.
The goalie that Carolina beat in 7 games.
I still
games.
Got Janik and Jilson, but I don't have...
The Edmonton goalie. Who, give it to us.
Salo, maybe?
Sammy Salo, I think he's hurt too. I think it's their third guy.
He's the other one that's hurt?
Maybe. There's another guy that plays in that series.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so Rollison is the starter. Conklin is the backup.
Ty Conklin's hurt.
And the guy who plays 6 games is UC Markkanen?
Yeah, there you go.
You're right, I had that name. There was a time where I had that name.
We used to have it. UC Markkanen. They needed 7 games to beat UC Markkanen.
Yeah.
On an 8 seed.
By the way, speaking of injuries in the finals, Durant in that Toronto series goes down. In that last game, I think might have been in the first half too.
He was lighting them up, wasn't he?
No. He goes down in game 5.
Okay.
I think in the clinching game, which is maybe game 6, Clay goes down too. Tears his ACL.
Right.
So, like, I think it's the last 2 quarters of that game, and it's still a game, and Golden State's trying to push game 7. Like, it's Steph by himself again.
Yeah.
And he almost, like, he has a shot to win game 6 and just misses it. So, like, you could say both of them.
We've got.
It's crazy though that I can't think of a Super Bowl one.
The biggest
not
injury,
even a non-quarterback.
The biggest
right?
injury in a Super Bowl that mattered the most in a Super Bowl.
Because no, there's nothing I'm thinking of that compares to like what happened last night to Indiana at all.
Chat points out Benford in the AFC Championship game concussed. That's right. That happened. Bills lost a very important player in the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
803-0550. Anyway, good morning. Jeremy and Joe.
Oh, Joe Theismann in 1985. That wasn't the Super Bowl, though, right? When he broke his leg?
That famous play is not the Super Bowl. No, that's against the Giants. So
okay.
He might have gotten hurt in the 85 Super Bowl. I don't know. Whatever.
Or maybe it was the NFC Championship game or something. Yeah.
Anyway, tough. Good morning. And then there's Tommy Fleetwood, who had a lead through 71 holes and had the old he bogeyed and the other guy birdied. Keegan Bradley being... pushed as Captain America to win that tournament late. Rough one for Tommy Fleetwood.
Who has never won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, most top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour without a win on the PGA
that's
Tour.
That's what made it more heartbreaking for me was that he's everyone seems to like him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fleetwood?
Yep.
And just didn't everyone feel so bad for him in that? Like, now I have my guy, though. He's my guy. I want to win the Open Championship more than anybody. He's really good. Everyone likes him.
He wouldn't
a moment like that. Like let me see your response.
That would not break his winless in the United States streak, though. He's still never won a tournament here. He's won tournaments, just not on the PGA Tour,
okay,
and not in the U.S.
Sure, right.
So he's won over there. You know, he's All right.
If he wins the Open Championship and one person, the next person goes, "Oh, do it at the Genesis Open."
That's right. 803-0550, our phone number. Kevin Durant got traded for a million things. He's now on the Rockets. Plenty to get to today. It's just me and you, Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. Plenty to talk about for the weekend. I got to check in with Owen on our cooler theory. Got a big
The cooler theory.
We all played golf on Saturday. I played golf with Owen and with John Gant with Bulldog. Cooler theory is that when I play with Bulldog, he plays like crap. And then he goes out the next day and plays great. And he played with me on Saturday. And let's just say he was a little upset with himself on a couple things. None of us played really well, that well. Mm-hmm. And then Bulldog played on Sunday and beat Owen without me there. Cooler theory. It's still alive and well. And we've got to talk about the Sabres, of course. This is it's got to be a big week in movement for the Sabres. Trades are happening. They're linked to everything. And there's kind of a bit of a – everyone woke up and looked at their center depth and kind of, what happened here?
Yeah.
What on earth? So we'll dig into some Sabres offseason stuff as well. Happy summer. It's June 23rd, so are the days already getting shorter? If so, that's kind of depressing, is it not, that it happens this early in the summer?
We also are exactly 1 month from training camp today.
1 month.
July 23rd.
All right. We'll get to the 30 biggest storylines. No, maybe probably not. Maybe not 30 storylines.
30 storylines.
Probably not 30 storylines. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring, 803-0550 on WGR.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. A story.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The season is complete. They were the best team in basketball from start to finish. And they're the youngest NBA champion in 48 years.
Mike Breen on the call. They were an excellent team all year.
They were the best. They were the only team. They were the third team ever to enter the finals with 80 wins.
Yeah,
and a Warriors team and a Bulls team, and that was it.
Credit to the Pacers for taking them to seven games, and then in game seven, they lose Halliburton, so that's tough.
Right, everyone thought it was going to be a sweep.
Yep. Losing Halliburton was tough for me because I had decided that this game should once and for all be the bulletin board bowl. We should decide whether or not we're ever going to care about the stupidest stuff. I'm a sucker here. I'm an idiot, and it's probably true because it's good for storylines. It fills papers, but the things that we now dedicate air to about Rick Carlisle saw a couple of buses that were already painted. now the Pacers are going to be so mad. This goes back to the Bengals claiming they were mad because the Bills and the Chiefs had tickets for sale for a game because planning for a game is something people do. Bulletin board material. My God, people get so caught up in it. It drives me nuts. Exclusive.
It's everywhere.
Look.
It's everywhere.
The Thunder have buses that are painted with NBA champions.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle. Game 7. Fellas, I know we were pretty fired up. I know. This is literally a championship game. But did you see the buses? Can you believe these guys on the other side? They think they might win this game.
Uh-huh.
And they might have made some plans in case they did.
Uh-huh.
The nerve. Well, we're going to show them now. Sorry. It's Monday at 6:30 a.m. I get so
Oh, wait till Jeremy sees people get upset about the Bills' Madden ratings.
I saw that.
There we go. They needed it. You know what? We are at a point where it's so forced sometimes that the first thought I had when I saw this, like, I wonder if they asked Madden to do that. Like, hey guys, you know, we don't have enough doubters this offseason. Like, nobody's doubting us. Like, can you drop us to like 83?
For sure.
Just so I can put something up in the locker room for the fellas.
For those that missed, the Madden not official ratings, like some beta tested rankings were released, and the Bills were behind the Browns and the Steelers.
Everyone was flipping out. They were behind Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right. Which is ridiculous. Sure, but who cares?
Anyway, 803-0550. Good morning. It's heat week. It's hot. It's going to be hot again, and hot and humid. Tom in Lockport. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Yes, I was about the player going down, Bob Lanier for St. Bonaventure back in 1970. They were going to the Final Four, and they lost him the game before the Final Four.
Yeah, it's tough. Trying to think who else, somebody else right before the Final Four. Bob Lanier, of course, famous.
Yeah.
Moment injury, you know, alters the course of history, maybe. At least in the Final Four.
Yeah, I hear that story a lot, that like they were gonna win, they were gonna go further, or they were gonna win.
Yeah.
Right? If that hadn't happened.
I don't feel like Orenze Onuwaku is a household name for something like this, but that happened to Syracuse. They were an amazing team and they lost Onuwaku in the Big East. If it's the Big East at the time.
I mean, this dude, Halliburton getting hurt last night. They just did the top 10 plays of the entire NBA playoffs.
Is he got seven of
them? I think he had five of them.
Yeah.
He had five of them. Also interesting that the team that won the title didn't have a single one of them. But it sucks that he got hurt. It really is the worst that he got hurt. And, right, like, listen, to that, like these are as close as we're getting for comparables. How long ago was Bob Lanier? The 1975? Is that earlier than that, even? We're into the 60s when that happened? I mean, you got to go far back to 1970. Like, you want to find something that's kind of comparable. It is, like, 40 years.
Yeah,
unless you're very familiar with the 2006 NHL playoffs on OLN.
Right. When the Sabres lost everybody.
Right. And Edmonton, too.
803-0550. Well, it's another example that asterisks, you want to talk things that aren't real. Asterisks aren't real. We don't put asterisks on anything. We always have, you know, the conversation, well, would you put an asterisk on that? You don't. And OKC wins the title. One thing about last night's game in that series that had me thinking about our situation is both those markets are, finger quotes, smaller markets.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have four teams. What do they have? They have what they have. In Indiana, you've got the basketball team and the football team. And in Oklahoma City, you've got the basketball team and you've got probably college football.
College football, yeah.
But not, you know, four. It's the following of the teams that were there last night. Like, these are, you know, obviously passionate fan bases, and they finally get one. I was listening to a news report. It might have been like an NPR or something over the weekend. I'm doing dishes. And they're interviewing people in Oklahoma City. And they were talking about the Thunder, I feel like, the way that Bills fans would talk about the Bills if interviewed for a similar piece. It was, you know, we're a small market, but if we were able to strike a blow with the championship, that would show everybody that we're not somebody, you know, we're not just some little brother. We're not just some inferior thing. Just taking your sports team's success to be a thing that makes you feel like you know, you're a bigger deal. And it kind of just resonated with me. Like, yeah, and in Oklahoma City, there's basketball fans that are willing to say that, would think about that. Sal tweeted in about Onuwaku. Sal, you and I remember.
Onuwaku.
Orenze Onuwaku. They would have won the title.
Yeah, I don't
They would have won the title. It's fine. That's the year that Butler beat them in the Sweet 16, and Butler loses to Duke by like a point.
Oh.
And that
almost, well, the shot at the end by Hayward.
Yep, that's that year. Syracuse was awesome.
Yeah. No, you're right. Like, we no one will put an asterisk on it at all. Maybe we'll remember that Halliburton got hurt in game seven, but no, that, like, that team was excellent all year long. They were the best team all year long. They blew teams out in the playoffs. Like, other than that second round, they had some trouble. Like, they really looked like the better team in pretty much every series. But it still is deflating because you'll always wonder what, you'll always just naturally wonder what that game would have looked like had the other team's best player been healthy for it. And you know, like, I think them not really putting the exclamation point on it really affects that too. Like, the fact that it did, the Pacers did hang around. Tete McConnell is hitting shots. You got the smallest dude on the court. He's just somehow finding a way to get it in. Like, he hit like 10 points in a row in the third quarter. Them not really putting their foot on the gas to win it, I think, is going to, like, today is going to be take-pocalypse, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be trying to take a little bit of credit away from them because they, again, they didn't put their foot on the pedal.
Well, they were supposed
when that team lost their best player.
That's right. And, I mean, even when the team had their best player.
And because they had huge expectations going into the series, they were supposed to smoke this team.
Yes, that's right.
They were supposed to beat this team in four or five games, and they didn't.
The whole thing had me thinking during the series, like, is Oklahoma City's coach over his head? Because, you know, if Carlisle can get that team that's not... I mean, Indiana was, what, a 5 seed? 4 seed?
Four, they were 4 seed.
A 4 seed.
Yeah.
One of the best regular season teams in the NBA, in also in league history in Oklahoma City. They won 68 games,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
And they're taken to 7 games by an East 4 seed. And even without their best player, in multiple games, I mean, Halliburton was not exactly 100% down the stretch. So credit to Indiana.
I really found that everybody was rooting for Indiana too, even before Halliburton goes down. Because did everybody see what I've been watching of this team? Like, I think America realized how this team wins.
The Thunder.
They
hack everybody.
They are just, and like, they're good at it, but their whole formula is we are unbelievable defensively, and we are going to get to the free throw line. That's our blueprint. That's our formula. And this is where I struggle to think about them, watch them, because I do want to appreciate their excellence. And at the same time, I want to hate them with every fiber of my being because they are horrible to watch.
Is there any chance that you, and maybe me and a lot of Bills fans, are primed for that kind of reaction to a team because we've watched the Chiefs the last 2 years?
Because what, the Chiefs are that?
What are the Chiefs the last 2 years? One of them is a Super Bowl win. One's a Super Bowl loss. Yeah. They are pull it out at the end with the most dumb mistake by the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, they got away with it again. They did it again. And, I mean, I guess that's the champion. You're back-to-back AFC champions. We live in a world where we think of the AFC as superior to the NFC. Maybe that's starting to move a little bit, and the NFC's catching up. But for most of the Josh Allen era, we've seen the Bills be in the AFC in this Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Ravens. These teams are the best. And, you know, over there, sure, you've got your Niners and your Lions. But
yeah.
And the team that wins the AFC, at least the last 2 years, is one that we watch and we say, they're not that good.
Yeah.
That's the life
See,
we live.
That would be the one difference, though, for me. Like, I do think the Thunder are amazing.
They're good, okay.
Like,
But you just don't appreciate the style.
That's right. Because, like, Kansas City, I can't get to something is, like, the last year or two, something is stopping me from going, no, they are actually as good as their record is. Like, there's no way. There's no way they were 15 wins good last year.
Yeah.
They weren't even close.
They would have been
16. We watched those games. We all knew it. Like, for them, it was more, it felt like luck. And for the Thunder, it just feels like they've kind of figured out the sport
Ugly.
A little bit. They figured out how to win, you know, towing the line of, well, their best player pushes off on every single shot, but he knows he's not going to get called for it. And defensively, there was a play last night where McConnell, who this is after Halliburton gets hurt, he's at half court, and the Wallace from the Thunder is grabbing his wrist as he dribbles, and he looks at the ref, he's like, you're going to let me do this? And yes, they're going to, because the Thunder do it on every play.
Yeah.
And they're not going to call you for it in every play. So it's, maybe there's an element of something Kansas City that's going on for me too. But like the two examples I think of excellent and this is not great to watch, and I hope you don't continue to succeed, because that's the New Jersey Devils of the early 2000s, and that's Floyd Mayweather in boxing.
Mayweather for sure. The Devils... There was their later cups, that was a lot of reputation, not exactly true. They scored a lot. I guess they would score and just like sit on games, so that might be...
In like what, 2003?
Yeah, like their third cup, they were one of the higher scoring teams in the league. But, okay. Right, they...
No, because that's good context, because my memory of them is they won every game 2-1.
They did a lot of that. They held the Leafs to 6 shots in a playoff game once.
What's that?
They held the Leafs to 6 shots in a playoff game.
That's hilarious. I didn't know that happened.
That happened once. 803-0550. I flirted with the Devils a little bit as a youth, just because my family was from New Jersey and I was, you know, without a hockey team in Central New York. The Sabres had not exactly regionalized to Syracuse. So I flirted with the Devils for a little while there.
So if I were to say they killed the sport before the lockout, you would take offense to that?
No, I would mostly agree. I just know there's 1 year where they did score a bunch.
Okay.
803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550. The chat's popping off. The injuries that we remember, like what are the other series? What are the other seasons? Sal's got two answers. We'll read you the other one. 803-0550, our phone number, as we get into the Sabres offseason. Now we're into the NBA offseason, and, you know, it's hot outside. Happy June. It's June 23rd. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Hey, everybody. Jeremy and Joe. Owen's here. Josh is here. The draft is Friday.
The NHL draft is Friday.
Yes.
Does it get the draft respect?
Probably not. You're right. Fair enough. The NHL draft is Friday. Yeah. The Sabres have to be loving the decentralized draft thing. Because don't the Sabres, and the Bills for that matter, don't they love to celebrate when they're working together? Jarmo Kekalainen signs. He's at Bills practice. The GMs, the teams love that synergy.
Yep,
we're always working together. And here's a beautiful opportunity. Hey, the draft is decentralized. Everybody stay at your own locations in the
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres are like, oh, we're moving right into the Bills facility for a couple days. They gotta love it.
Yeah. But they are like borrowing another team's facilities. So like
top of the line draft room.
I don't know. Like, yeah, sure. Do you think I wondered about that. Do other NHL people look at that and go, why are they kind of bragging about that? Like, not to say that they're doing anything wrong, but just like, I don't know. The Dallas Stars, I don't see their Twitter account going like, oh, we're going to the Cowboys facilities today. Like, they probably have their own.
Maybe.
I don't know
what all the other teams are doing. I would have to know what the other teams are doing.
Yeah, maybe, right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are going around we're a buddy's house over here to do this. Like, I don't know.
Maybe they're doing, you know, fun like outdoor game stuff like Utah. Yeah, we're setting up on top of a mountain, or
the draft room.
Our war room is going to be, who knows? The Panthers. We're at the elbow room. By the way, the Panthers. Is it possible
they're trying to be the villains?
Is it possible to change how you feel about a team after watching them celebrate?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. It is.
Yeah, it is. I liked what the Capitals won more after they started celebrating and Ovechkin was swimming in fountains.
And the Panthers is the opposite?
Yes.
The Panthers are having a competition who can post the most stuff on social media, and Sam Reinhart is elite at this.
Uh-huh.
He can't stop posting.
Wait, are you going the other way, though? You're saying you like that they won more because of that?
No,
because of that?
Not necessarily. When I say elite, I mean the posting the most and the best. He's posting as often as he scores goals. He is nonstop posting, and the Panthers are in their full-on celebration mode.
But they are doing something that not just hockey doesn't do, I don't think sports does, where I can't remember a team dogging the team they beat like the Panthers are right now. Like, usually it's a respect for the opponent that you beat. Like, you don't, like, I don't know. What, you didn't hear the Patriots when they beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl just going after Russell Wilson. And here's Florida saying bleep the Oilers, like, in mics and they're yelling McDavid who. Marchand is wearing an Oilers logo that says Losers on it.
Yeah. Like, the last time
has that ever happened?
That happened between the Warriors and the Cavs. A little bit. That happened Warriors.
Did it?
Yes.
On which side?
LeBron got off a plane wearing a shirt with Steph's face on it. And
no,
yeah,
did he?
Absolutely. There was a little bit of that. There was a little bit of that between Warriors, Cavs. And the other example of that, I only got one other, and it's much tamer. Bills, Dolphins, the Bills have not been afraid to troll the Dolphins after they beat Miami. That's
they
have the game where they're making the emoji face. But again, that's in the moment, and that's not a week later going after them every minute that you can.
Right. This is like.
But what's LeBron's got that shirt? What's LeBron, the Warriors shirt? He got off a plane because he and Steph, it used to not exactly be mutual respect. Curry for a while was obviously.
No, their bro ship has developed, I think, more.
Yes, that bromance where they might, you know, hey, we'd like to see them play together. That was not always that way. Because Curry is, you know, an MVP.
He wore an Ultimate Warrior t-shirt getting off the plane. So, like, you know, it wasn't Steph's face on it.
What did it say?
It was like the Ultimate Warrior, like the WWE wrestler. That was the shirt he was wearing.
Okay, then he did something else.
Then maybe he did something else, too. But the shirt he was wearing off the plane was just the Ultimate Warrior. And I don't think there's any Steph.
Okay.
And maybe he did something else.
Okay.
We know J.R. Smith didn't because he didn't wear a shirt for like a year after that. Even if he did something, nothing like this.
Here's an article.
Bleep the Oilers and Connor McDavid, who? That's crazy. I kind of hate it. It's good, though, right? Like, didn't we have this conversation on Friday? Like, we want villains.
All right.
And, they are leaning into being like, hey, if you don't hate us yet,
I've got a couple
you better
answers.
Hate us for next year.
There was a Halloween party LeBron threw where one of the decorations was a drum kit that said 3-1 lead. They had cookies that were Clay and Steph's gravestones. And another famous one, don't forget the number of times the Patriots trolled 28-3 on Atlanta. Mm. Including the championship ring that year had 283 diamonds in it because of 28-3. So that's subtle. That's not exactly bleep the Oilers.
No, right. Bleep the Oilers being on the Panthers ring, for instance, would be crazy, I think.
Yeah, that's right. 803-0550. Happy Monday, Jeremy and Joe. We'll get to some Sabres chatter here. The offseason upon us. And Frank Seravalli, the guy is going bold on Paterka. Expects him traded before Friday. I expect him traded by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We'll see about that. We'll dig into that a little bit, what the Sabres' options might be. I feel like they're going to trade for Pettersson. That's my latest. I think they're going to do that, if that move is still out there.
For Pettersson?
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.